Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In our podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. David Lewis is the Director of Behavioral Health Services for Seattle Public Schools, a department that focuses on educational practices that align with social-emotional learning research and trauma-informed practices. David also works in collaboration with the University of Washington as a partner in research and lecturing in the content areas of complex trauma, adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, social-emotional learning, childhood resilience, and child neural and physical development. David is most publicly known for his expertise in the content areas of adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, complex trauma, and toxic stress. David has developed a trauma-informed multi-tiered system of supports framework, a TMTSS, that Seattle Public Schools is implementing district-wide. The trauma-informed model is additionally launching in various communities throughout Washington State. For years, he has been developing assessment tools and treatment planning, as well as teaching and parenting practices that align with the complex trauma research. David frequently presents and translates the research throughout various parts of the country. David, thank you so much for being part of this. I really appreciate you taking the time and also all the work you're doing.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. So one of League of Education Voters' top legislative priorities in the 2020 legislative session is implementing a statewide multi-tiered system of supports, or MTSS. How would you describe what MTSS is, and how does your trauma-informed MTSS differ from standard MTSS?
Yeah, I believe multi-tiered system of support is really a way that schools can figure out sustainable systems that are correlated with high effective practices throughout their school building and then scale that throughout their district. And I think the important word in that really is sustainable. And so we all want talented teachers that are effective with students. But in addition to that, can we figure out what those effective practices are and scale them in some manner so that through the years, the common experience for the teachers and the kids is something that can go on along with all the successes that come along with that. The trauma-informed model, what I used to say is it really is a focus on anxiety or elevated anxiety for students, and then how that manifests itself in terms of even recognizing emotion and then regulating an emotion that leads to a behavior. And so I think really the content front-loaded within that body of research for teachers is where that differed. But I would say, having been in Seattle Public Schools for almost 5 years, what we used to call trauma-informed in terms of building safe, sustainable environments where kids feel like they belong, where they're attached to positive adults, as well as having high expectations and high support, what we used to call trauma, we're really just trying to call school, because those are elements that are good for all kids.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And let's pull back a little bit about MTSS in general. We're talking about tiers. You're differentiating student needs. How do you do that?
An effective manner would be to just capitalize on the science of every student and every human being wants to feel safe. And that's just an instinct to be able to do an assessment on, am I safe in terms of physical safety, emotional safety, some would say identity safety, can I be who I am in a given environment? Is there a sense of belonging? Do I feel attached positively to adults and peers to where I can be myself? I can ask for help if I need it. I can advocate. Is it an environment where my self-esteem as a student and a child is being built up because adults can recognize my strengths and also name those while still holding me to expectations because they're clear? And we just call that school every day in tier one. If you can provide that environment, a lot of the behaviors or challenges we see from students will actually reduce because we've created conditions that are ideal for them. If that occurs, what we know is every student is still a human being and they're different. Yeah. In tier two or tier three, can we clearly identify what that additional challenge is because we have met all of our basic needs? An example would be there's a student somewhere that needs glasses that can't see the board. If that goes on for too long and they now start to have an academic deficiency because they haven't seen what's being taught, that can be an academic challenge to eventually go along with an emotional challenge related to math as well as a behavior. And all of that, although we can categorize it as something in terms of needing to be addressed in terms of behavior, that could really be fixed by somebody identifying that the student needs glasses and putting those glasses in place. Mm-hmm. And so it is about in the upper tiers. Tier two, are there low-level things that we need to identify and put in place for students? And now that we've done that, what we still know is disabilities do exist. How can we be accurate in identifying what that disability is and effective in addressing that as well? And doing that in all three tiers so every student can get what they need to be successful in school.
So what does that assessment process look like? Would it be training teachers on how to do that, or would it be another staff in the building to do it?
I think everybody having a lens on what's good for students, having practices and understanding of how you create those conditions, that would be everybody in a given school. If teachers now have the capacity to provide that in the confines of the day-to-day classroom, and they have a lens for a student that may need something additional, then they can tell those additional support staff in the building, where that could be a speech pathologist, that could be a behavior specialist, that could be a counselor, school psychologist, a school social worker. If the teacher has a lens for what those additional types of supports may be, they can hand that to that specialist that can do further assessment to really drill down on acutely what is the challenge, and then find sometimes even a community-based support or working with the family to additionally address that even outside of the school environment. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody has a layer and a piece to it, from the teacher all the way to the psychologist, mental health provider, and the family as well.
To me, this just sounds like common sense, that every school should have this. What do you see as the barriers to implementing this?
I think initially it's just really understanding it. We have our idea of what schools should be, and we have an expectation that we'd all like to adhere to, that every child succeed and they show up and get a good academic teaching and they learn and they go to college. But what we know is we're human beings and we're not that finite. Mm. And so I think understanding a big piece of what are the challenges that our students and families are facing that may be removing them from having the same ability to be successful at school, because that's sort of looking to the left of symptoms we often see. Yeah. I think the next piece is understanding the system itself. As I described earlier, there are certain things that all humans need to have in place. And if you start removing any of those, there will be a symptom that shows that something is missing, all the way down to, if a student doesn't have food to eat, our brains burn 20% of our daily calories, even though that's a smaller organ.
Yep.
But a kid not having a meal will impact the way they're learning and regulating. We want to understand all the nuances of that to make sure even kids have something to eat when they arrive to school. So it's understanding how the system works to address what every kid needs and additionally what may be missing. And then ultimately, what are those practices that we're going to put in place, all agree to in a school building, and do those to fidelity with high repetition to be able to stay the time to see the gains that we can with most students, which is essentially just having patience as well.
Yeah.
And so there's phases on how to do this. And I think sometimes just understanding the challenges for families beyond our own lens, and then understanding the system, and then identifying practices and really staying with that over a period of time. It takes some time, it takes some understanding, and then it takes some patience to be able to see the effectiveness of that over time.
It sounds like what this really is just building on the premise that a stressed brain can't learn. And so once you remove the stress, then the learning can happen.
Yes, I tell people, if you're ever going on a trip somewhere and you're using your phone to navigate to get to an important meeting, you will not be able to retain academic learning if somebody were teaching you that in your passenger seat. But if day to day that drive feels safe, you've driven enough times and you've caught onto the pattern to where you don't have to navigate it anymore, you could actually listen to a book and retain that book on that drive like many of us do. And that's the same sort of consistency and predictability we want to build in our school for students.
Well, that sounds fantastic to me as a parent of somebody who comes from a background of trauma, and he can use additional supports. He goes to public school. And full disclosure here, David, you were instrumental in getting him the support that he needs, which he is getting right now, and that's fantastic. What can parents do? What can students do? What can educators do around Washington State to put MTSS in place on a statewide level?
You know, if you're hearing about what MTSS is, like many of us are in our state, as you've described, talk to your teachers, talk to your school leaders, talk to your upper-level administrators in your district, communicate what you know about it, advocate that something like this be in place. And what I've seen throughout my career in this is that each of us want the same things. And if they can hear it enough and understand it enough, I've seen little resistance in teachers wanting to take this on or school leaders taking this on. And like I said earlier, when you can identify those practices and be patient, the outcomes have been positive in most places.
What would you say during your own educational journey worked well for you, and what didn't work so well?
Well, if I were to give full disclosure as well, we've mentioned trauma. Even myself, I dealt with the death of a parent at age 15. Mm-hmm. When I look back on that experience, I was at school 3 days later. And when I think about my school, what I say is there were caring, trusting adults that I didn't mind seeing. Mm-hmm. The pattern and predictability and structure of school was good for me to go back to because it brought some semblance of day-to-day life back to my 15, 16-year-old school career. Yeah. I was involved in recreation and sports, which was a good group of friends for me and a positive peer group. Mm-hmm. And really what I'm describing out is protective factors that many were placed in that 7 hours that I would call my school day. And so I think that worked well. There are other individuals that have experienced similar traumas that may not have had those protective factors in place that ended up in other places. I think what you're hearing me describe is just day to day, we all have needs as just humans to feel cared about, to feel loved, to have consistency. And I think for me, being able to recognize what worked well for me and be able to name it further informs the work I do. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, also understanding the cases that haven't worked out so well and why that was and what was missing can further inform why we need to continue to do this work just everywhere in all places so that all kids can receive that.
Yeah, is that what got you into doing what you do now? Your contrast, I guess, between your own experience and the experience of your friends?
Yeah, I think that is a lot of it. I think for kids, you want to be proactive, not reactive. You know, essentially when you start school, most of your awake hours are happening right there in a school context.
Yeah.
The number of adults that you have access to that inform you of what the world is happening in that school context. And then just the sheer number of other kids that are also giving feedback or you're having experiences with is enormous during those school years. And so because so much of that just in sheer time and numbers can impact the way you see the world and the way you see yourself, I think schools is a good remedy for being able to be proactive to build healthy adults. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I sort of steer towards school mm-hmm. to do a lot of my work in programming.
That makes perfect sense. Now, here's a big overarching question, and you've described a lot of how the system could work in order to better support kids. But if you were in charge of our state's education system and there were no budgetary constraints whatsoever, what would you do to change our current education in Washington?
Yeah, I would get really clear about whatever that defined floor is for us as human beings and what those needs are in terms of both what are the needs, coming up with a set of practices that we know are good and don't discriminate whether you're on some of the islands I've been on or in the inner city, and really be able to make that tangible to give everybody in a manner that they can actually practice that and do that to fidelity. And then once they've done that, what we know is there's still going to be additional supports that are needed. Provide the support to go to a given area to identify what are the other community risk factors that may differ, and find ways to put supports in those areas. So as I was saying earlier, kids who do need something additional, it's not a barrier that they can't get that because of where they live or whatever geographical location supports are available there. I think we want to make sure we've defined clearly what needs to be in school, provide the practices and support, and then additionally be able to provide those additional things we know some kids need.
Well, may it be so. David Lewis is the Director of Behavioral Health Services for Seattle Public Schools. David, thank you so much for letting me drop in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.